In the beginning, there was old Strathcona. And it was good, but it was sorely lacking in the ways of the artsy and the fartsy. Then Father Fringe looked out upon the neighborhood and said,
"Let there be Fringe."
And there was Fringe. And the people saw, and they knew it was fabulous. So they clamored for more. "Ask, and you shall receive." Here we are, 40 years later, standing at 10337 White Avenue, which is as good a place to start as any. Ah, the Princess, Edmonton's oldest surviving theater. From 1915 on, it is a haven for vaudeville, concerts, and countless silent films. First talkie in 1929.
Wait a minute! You ain't heard nothing yet!
The Princess remains the jewel in the crown of White Avenue for decades to come. Then someone invents a little box that transmits flickering black and white images right into people's homes for free, and ticket sales take a dramatic plunge.
Ethel! Ricky's gonna kill me! Ah!
So the doors of the Princess slam shut in 1958. For over a decade, it becomes retail space, finally returning to its cinematic roots in 1971 as the Klondike Cinema. The Klondike features all sorts of fun family fare, which eventually gives way to a whole swack of blue movies. After a few years, the Klondike goes under, so the old Strathcona Foundation leases the space, eventually buying the building outright. It reopens in 1978 as a repertory movie house under its original name, and live performances are tossed back into the mix. In 1980, artistic director Brian Paisley, not yet Father Fringe, relocates from Fort St. John, B.C. to Edmonton, bringing with him the Chinook Touring Theater.
Bro, this Edmonton place? Oh, it looks like an awesome theater town!
It's 1982. Summerfest, a funding organization, finds itself with extra cash earmarked for some form of summer arts activity. And the soon-to-be Father Fringe has a vision.
Bro, I see a festival, all colors and chaos in the heart of Old Strathcona, inspired by the Edinburgh Fringe in Scotland, but it's a whole different animal. Artist-driven, unjuried, uncensored, with all the money going directly to the artists themselves. And some of it will be brilliant, and some of it will be terrible. But that's all part of the fun. Well, what do you say? Bear in mind, I'm a won't-take-no-for-an-answer kind of guy.
Summerfest can't possibly turn down such enthusiasm, and the first Edmonton Fringe is a go. Look down. Look way down. First headquarters for the Fringe is the basement of the Princess.
Bro, I don't think anybody's been down here in years. The walls are damp, the floor's so dusty, and the air. But this dank subterranean cavern represents artistic freedom. And free rent, too. We'll take it! One problem, though. Whenever we're having a meeting and a classic film is screening upstairs, we can hear every word of dialogue.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine. Play it, Sam.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Sleeves are rolled up, and planning gets underway for the first ever a Fringe Theater event.
Bro, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm thinking five indoor stages, all within walking distance, within something like 200 performances, and an outdoor area with bands, singers, clowns, pretty much whoever shows up. Well, what do you think? Bear in mind, I'm a won't take a no for an answer kind of guy. Thank you. You're too kind.
From their nerve center in the Princess basement, Father Fringe and his staff set about selecting venues. At the time, White Ave is going through an economic slump. There are numerous vacant buildings, many of them well-worn and a tad shabby. There are also a few spots that might be considered cool. at least by 1982 standards. The Princess, Orange Hall, the Art Store, and the Tower Mortgage Building make the final cut. Plus Walterdale Theater, the only legitimate performance space that first year. Nuts and bolts are tightened, performers sign up, venues are prepared, and on August 14th, 1982, it's ready, set, Fringe! Father Fringe's dream is realized, and history is made. But no sooner is one dream realized than another manifests itself. Father Fringe has his eye on his next challenge, a brand new home for the Fringe and the Chinook Touring Company. In 1983, Father Fringe and company bid the Princess basement a fond farewell and move one street over to 83rd Avenue's former Fire Hall No. 6, which becomes the makeshift headquarters for Return of the Fringe. But more on that later. Over the past few decades, the Princess changes ownership several times. In 1994, Brian Paisley, Father Fringe himself, becomes manager of the space and offers to buy the historical movie house. But after long and heated negotiations fall through, the won't take no for an answer kind of guy has to take no for an answer.
Bummer.
In 1997, the Princess rethinks its repertory format. Gone are the classics, the independent productions, and the cult films. It is now a first-run theater. In 1999, the Princess II opens downstairs in the Fringe's old office space. It's October 2020. As COVID-19 takes its toll on the film industry, as well as everything else, the Princess closes its doors yet again and is put up for lease. 106 years of glorious history has been shuttered away. But you can't keep a good theater down. In July 2021, the Princess reopens its doors just when we need it the most. Ah, Princess, here's to the next 106 years, whatever they may look like.
Here's to the Princess Theater. Time to mosey on, Fringer. Your next stop is the Varscona Theater, located at 10329 83 Avenue. Please take care crossing the street. And might we recommend ducking in the back alley behind the Varscona for a sweet treat from our friends at Sugared and Spiced. We're big believers in the magic of theater and cookies. Once you get to the Varscona, also known as Fire Hall No. 6, press play on part 2.